This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hunter Biden in some trouble. We have Senator Ron Johnson on the show. We have Tudor Dixon talking about Gretchen Whitmer, the Biden Kamala thing. We have bank closures. We have all that and more coming up tonight on I'm Right. Welcome to I'm Right. It's time for some Dome and Dumber.
What am I doing here? This dinner is one of the two great traditions of Washington. The other one is underestimating me and Kamala. Well, the truth is, we really have a record to be proud of.
That was Joe Biden at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And just for those of us who don't go to that dinner, I've never been invited, you've never been invited, here's what it is. The President of the United States of America invites all the media who lies for him endlessly, and they all get together in some gigantic banquet room while the president makes lame jokes other people write for him, and they all just kind of enjoy being above us, above you, above me, above truth, above obligations of any kind, above the concerned of the hourly worker. That's why these people all gathered together to close our economy for as long as humanly possible. But it's actually more than that. There was a moment in this thing that I thought was so revealing of not the White House Correspondents' Dinner. You don't care about that. I don't care about that. But of the country we live in. So indicative of what the system really is. Joe Biden has very famously been the most reclusive president ever. One of them. I mean, with the exception of the ones who have even more severe health problems than Joe, he just doesn't answer questions. He doesn't do press conferences. He's infamous now for putting out statements even in the wake of horrific controversies of his, like Afghanistan. He just put out a statement and then walk away or go on vacation. He's never there. He's not available for the media. He gives them a very controlled snippet and then nothing else. He joked about that. And the people he's supposedly disrespecting, the people he's supposedly disrespecting are sitting in that room. Keep in mind, they're the people he's screwing over every time he doesn't take questions. Knowing that, here was Joe.
In a lot of ways, this dinner sums up my first 2 years in office. I'll talk for 10 minutes, take zero questions, and cheerfully walk away.
You hear him laugh? He doesn't take our questions. How damaging is that? How revealing is that, I guess I should say? Because you know what that is? Here's what that is. You know what the system is. We talk about it all the time on the show. The system is your culture, any nation, It is built on various pillars. Right? Your media is a pillar. Your education system, your government, your religion, your entertainment. These are pillars that hold up societies, and they're supposed to be separate. That way they can keep each other in check. So if media lies about something, immediately entertainment, athletes, actors, everyone should come out and pile on the media for lying about something so that everything stays in check. But in a late stage republic like we are now, they figure out something. The leaders of the cultural pillars figure out, hey, if we just work together, we'll be able to pillage this place and the peasants will be totally powerless to do anything about it. Now, that's what I call the system. That's what we have now is a system. But here's what's crazy about this country we live in. People will act against their own best interests, act against what they know to be right, act against the truth in favor of lies, just to be part of the system. Because if you've got your system card, if you're a system member, let's be honest, life is easier. Life is good. If you're a reporter sitting in that room and you work for ABC, and the president makes some joke about how he never takes your questions, he just spits right in your face. The truth is that reporter has a decision to make, and a difficult decision. That reporter can sit there and laugh and clap like a seal. Ah, ha, ha, it's so funny. And then that reporter keeps his system membership card, and that means that reporter really can only fail so far. Even if they lose their job at ABC, they'll get picked up by a university here, CBS over here. You can only fall so far if you're part of that system. But if a reporter was to say, stand up at that dinner and ask him a difficult question on camera, well, then you find your system membership card revoked. Then you can fall far. You might even have to get a real job. That's the kind of nation we live in. Either you're a member of the system, part of the system, or you're not part of the system. Speaking of part of the system, let's talk about JP Morgan. Let's move past dinners and talk about something frightening that happened today. I woke up, it was one of those days, I know we've all had them, I woke up, turned my alarm off, and then, oh, let's see what the news of the day is. And I went, what? Yeah, the federal government, they seized First Republic Bank. The federal government seized First Republic Bank, that is the second largest bank closure in the history of the United States of America. They seized it, and that's not even the best part, the federal government seizing it. The best part is they seized it and then turned around and looked for a card-carrying member of the system. J.P. Morgan, always been good little boys and girls for the federal government. So they seized First Republic Bank and they said, hey, who's a system member who wants First Republic Bank? Oh, J.P. Morgan, nice, there you go. J.P. Morgan gets massive increase in value. They have control now in the banking sector of this country that is frankly alarming. J.P. Morgan just became an entity as powerful as some state governments, you could argue, with the amount of finances they now have at their disposal. That happened today. That's the kind of country we live in. And that's why you want to be a card-carrying member of the system. Which brings us to Joe and Kamala. Let's go back to this again. You know, I've already told you, I think they're going to try to push Joe out. I think they're going to try to push Joe out because he's not sane enough. Doesn't have the mental capacity, I guess I should say, to lie like he should. That's really Joe Biden's main sin. It's not freezing out the press. It's not his brain melting into pudding. None of those things really matter to any of these communists. They don't care. What matters to the communists is maintaining power and getting more of it. And Joe Biden is just simply a liability because his brain is melted, and now his mouth, there's no filter on it. So he'll routinely say out loud the things he should be keeping private, and that is what the system cannot afford, because remember, all communism is based on lies. You must lie at all times. If you can read any communist work out there, they'll all talk about it. Never let them see what you're doing. We can't let them know what we're doing. We have to keep what we're doing hidden. That's what they believe. So if you have a president who has moments of accidental honesty like Joe Biden does, you're going to get moved out. It's my theory anyway. And when I see people like Chris Coons saying things like this, it leads me to believe there's probably going to be a push out.
The vice president's ready to run and ready to be president should that ever happen. I know our president has great confidence in her, and so do I.
Yeah, sure. We all have a lot of confidence in her. Why though, would you talk like that? Why are we talking about the vice president like she may have to step in at any moment? This is an effort to begin the Kamala Rehab Project, the public image rehab project for Dome, and Lord knows she needs it, especially after her stellar performance talking to the South Korean president about Squid Games.
I also think of the Emmy Award-winning TV shows like Squid Games, which I will confess Doug and I binge-watched at home over a series of weeks. And I think of the actress, Yoon Ya-jung, who I met in Seoul last year when I convened groundbreaking South Korean women. She is the first Korean to win an Academy Award for acting. These are examples of the cultural ties and the intertwined history between our nations.
So that brings me to this. What if they do run? What if my theory's crazy and Biden and Dome do run? I know that's horrible to think about, isn't it? And we cringe at the thought of having another 4 years of these two morons running the country. So how are we going to stop it? Well, I will argue that we are very, very, very far behind when it comes to understanding how to shape culture in this country. This is actually the main point of what I wanted to talk about here. Let me explain something. I'm not an artistic person. This is coming back to politics. Hang with me. I'm not artistic. I can't sing or dance or draw or play an instrument. I can't do any of these things. None of the Kellys can. We're just not an artistic people. So I instinctively, when I see people doing things like that, I kind of scoff at it. Oh, look, a dance competition. But let me tell you something right now. Republicans should be sponsoring dance competitions. Now, I don't think, just because of who I am, dance doesn't mean anything to me. So why should they do that? Because let's say you're a young lady or a young dude going into dance. All the dance competitions, all the dance schools, almost all of them are run by card-carrying communists now. So because we don't take any value in that, we ignore that cultural area, and therefore we raise an entire generation of dancers who think they have to be Democrats, because all their dancer friends are Democrats. Have you seen these stupid TikTok videos with these young idiot communist activists?
What the Republican Party doesn't understand about Gen Z is we don't like you. You claim you want to appeal to Gen Z, but you call us stupid, you say we're dumb, you say we're indoctrinated. I promise it's a losing strategy. And Gen Z is watching the Republican Party extremely closely as they destroy our environment, take rights away from women, do nothing about kids being shot in schools, and if they think they can give the middle finger to our generation and get away with it, they're sorely mistaken.
Okay, so What did you do when you looked at that? I mean, I should probably give you a second. You're probably not even looking at me because your eyeballs are actually rolled so far back in your head that they got stuck. Me too. I don't look at that video and get inspired. I don't look at that video and cheer. I don't look at that video and think, wow, that's a genius strategy. We should do that. But the truth is, we should do that. Now, not with those two morons, but we look at things like that, these young 12-year-old influencers on TikTok or whatever these guys are on, and we scoff at things like that. But the next generation doesn't. The next generation coming up, they're on TikTok. They're on social media, sadly, too much. They're on there all day long doing this. Why isn't the RNC funding things like that like the DNC is? Why? Too busy losing elections? Oh, I'm sorry. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We got to get much more into culture. We have to get much better at culture, all of us. All right, now, we still have more. We still have so much more. Before we get to that, you have to stick around for Lighten the Mood tonight, by the way. Before we get to so much more, let's discuss the dominoes that very well may fall. Bank closures, bank seizing, food plants burning, trains derailing, all while World War III is slowly ramping up. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know if we're going to have a depression. I don't know if we're going to have World War III. I pray to God we don't. But I know this. I've made preparations in case we do. For instance, if an EMP takes out the power grid in my area, which means no more grocery store, my family's eating 2,000 calories a day for 3 months because I have emergency 3-month food kits from my Patriot Supply for all of them. Do you have 3 months worth of food for every person who lives in your home? They're $200 off per kit right now. Go to mypatriotsupply.com, all right? Mypatriotsupply.com. We'll be back.
Every president privately and sometimes publicly bridles at his news coverage. And yet they invite us in and take our questions. Though, sir, maybe not as many as we would like.
Joining me now, John Solomon, award-winning investigative journalist, also has a book out, Brave Books, we love Brave Books, called Hidden Headlines. John, this White House Correspondents' Dinner, it always ends up making the American people cringe as all the elites gather in one room and laugh about how they just hide the truth from us on a daily basis.
Yeah, listen, it's the ultimate example of the synergy between the bureaucracy, the Democratic leadership, and the Democratic media. And they celebrate themselves once a year, even though they're unaware, I think, most days, how much the American public despise the work they've done. They actually are angry at the news media for repeatedly misinforming the American public, keeping us from having information vital to elections, keeping us from information vital to COVID. They celebrate themselves because their audience won't celebrate them anymore.
Could you, you're one of the few journalists left. There just aren't many of them in the country. And it really bothers me because I do view journalism, as much as we hate these people, as a critical profession, especially when you have people in power and corruption. It is critical that someone is out there tracking down this information and exposing it, and that we don't have that in this country in any real major level is a big reason why we've gotten so corrupt, in my opinion.
Yeah, listen, that check and balance. Our founding fathers saw the free press as an important counterbalance to a government, any size government. They hoped it was going to be a small government. Obviously, it's blown up and become big, which makes the counterbalance all the more important. And for most of our last 100, 150 years, the press was a good counterbalance. It gave us Watergate. It exposed Tuskegee experiments and things like that. In the era just really about the Barack Obama era, when that began, and then going into the Trump era, all of a sudden the political press corps, particularly in Washington, became the opposite of a counterbalance. It became the additional weight to hijack a singular narrative in America, so that if you weren't the authorized narrative in America in 2019, I wasn't that narrative because I dared to write about Hunter Biden. I got canceled for a while. If you weren't part of the crowd, you weren't part of the official narrative, all of a sudden it wasn't just the Democratic establishment attacking you, it was the news media. Listen, when I started writing Hunter Biden stories, there were reporters going through my neighborhood suggesting to my neighbors that I was a Russian spy or a Russian asset. I had won tons of awards as a journalist, some of the most prestigious journalists. All of a sudden, no one would stand up and defend me. And it perplexed me for a while. Then I realized something. There's a new generation of journalists, and they went through a school system that didn't teach the valuable civic lessons of why the First Amendment was first to our founding fathers, that the Bill of Rights was important. They came through a school system that suggested that free speech was negotiable and that there'd be moments in history where a government could silence its people for the good of a collective. That is the dangerous moment that our education system left us with. And that's why I wrote this book. I wrote this book to give parents and grandparents a counter story, which is, let's go back to the original civics lessons of America. Free speech is free for a reason, and we need it in this country.
Tell me about this book.
It's a really fun thing. Listen, a couple years ago, my son, who's autistic, got a hamster, and I was entrusted with it for a week while my wife went away. I lost the hamster. I left the cage open like a little bit. He got out. I was mortified. I spent like 6 hours on my knees crawling around with a stethoscope looking to find him. I found him, got him back in the cage. I thought I had dodged a bullet. The next day, my co-host on television told the world I lost the hamster. My wife found out. We laughed about it. And then we said, you know what? I want to make this hamster something special. And so in this fun story, there's a newspaper publisher called Chunk. That's the name of my son's hamster. And he's trying to publish a newspaper, and the tubes in the hamster village are clogged. Those are social media allegories for that, for the parents. And he can't get the news out that there's an impending flood that could endanger the city. And a brave dog, a curious brave dog, goes out of the way and solves the case and warns the folks, and people learn a valuable lesson about censorship. It's a fun story, but it really is an allegory driven by my own experiences. From 2019 to 2022, I was blocked from telling the Hunter Biden story, blocked from telling the laptop story, blocked from telling the original origins of COVID story. It wasn't the official narrative for all of those people at the dinner Saturday night, so we couldn't tell it in normal channels. And today, obviously, all three of those stories turned out to be true. We need to solve this issue of censorship in America before it imperils this great republic.
Finally, speaking of stories that go nowhere or get blocked, is this IRS whistleblower thing with Hunter Biden going somewhere? I just have no faith in this stuff anymore. I figure the guy's probably going to disappear or something.
I think he is, actually. A very important step was taken last week. Congress accepted his whistleblower complaint, which means he can now talk about tax privacy-related information about Hunter Biden. Here is going to be the big story, Jesse. I think this is what is going to be the earthshake. We're going to learn from this whistleblower, I believe, based on my reporting, that the Justice Department had a broad criminal case against Hunter Biden that went all the way back to 2014 to tax failure to pay tax payments on his Burisma money. Remember when we told Burisma wasn't a big deal, was a conspiracy theory? Hunter Biden didn't pay taxes on $400,000 of tax income. The government built a perfect case to go and pursue him, bring accountability, and somewhere in the process, a political appointee blocked not only the prosecution, they allowed the tolling agreement, the statute of limitations, to expire so that the Biden family wouldn't have to answer for that big money from China and Ukraine and Russia that flowed in 14, 15, and 16. I think that's going to create an enormous amount of outrage in Congress. And I think it's already had an impact. You heard last week there were negotiations between Hunter Biden and the government. I think that meeting was spurred by the fact that they knew this whistleblower was about to become public.
John Solomon, I appreciate you, sir. Come back.
Thank you, Jesse. Love your show.
Appreciate you. All right. We have to talk to a senator about the FBI and this Hunter Biden stuff. Senator Ron Johnson is going to join us next. Before we get to that, let's get to this. Let's get to that timeshare you think you're stuck in. You're not. You know that? You're really not stuck in your timeshare. Repeat after me. I am not stuck in my timeshare. I know they've told you are. I know they've told you to read the contract and you sign the paperwork and you have to keep paying these annual fees and special assessments. I know that. Lone Star Transfer has heard all that. And yet 99% of the time when you make that phone call, they get you out. They guarantee it in writing. They give you a time frame. How's that for calling your shot? That's like Babe Ruth with the home run. Call them. Call Lone Star Transfer. 844-310-2646. 844-310-2646. We'll be back.
Because look, there are 50 former national intelligence folks who said that what this he's accusing me of is a Russian plant. They have said that this has all the characteristics. Five former heads of the CIA, both parties, say what he's saying is a bunch of garbage. Nobody believes it except his and his good friend, Rudy Giuliani.
Joining me now, Senator Ron Johnson, ranking member of the Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations. Senator, I remember that like it was yesterday. I'm sure you do, too, when they were all telling us that, hey, all the spies said it's Russian disinformation. What's the latest and greatest on all that?
Well, obviously, when we knew then that Joe Biden was lying. The FBI had possession, had taken possession of Hunter Biden's laptop in December 2019. And by the way, on the way out the door, they look over at McIsaac and said, you know, it's our experience that people who don't talk about these things don't get in trouble. That's like a mob-like type of threat, isn't it? And that started their sabotaging, pre-sabotaging any disclosure of that laptop, which then carried forward because of Anthony Blinken initiating that letter with 51 former intelligence officials that Joe Biden was referring to there. It was the greatest fraud ever perpetrated on the American public in a presidential election, from my standpoint. It should make all those 51 intelligence officials, including Anthony Blinken, ought to have their security clearances yanked. They should not be allowed to work for the federal government. Those who are working now should resign, or they should be impeached, or they should be fired. It's just egregious. But what's as egregious, the fact the mainstream media is by and large mum on this. They're not reporting this. They're not outraged by it because it favors their political ideology.
So Blinken, okay, so he coordinates with these former intelligence officials, and it's bad, and it's deceitful, and it's horrible, but is it illegal? Did he break the law in any way?
Well, he certainly lied to the American public. And what we now know is he also lied to Congress in his interview with my staff. We were obviously investigating the Bidens back in 2019, 2020. We invited the Bidens to come in. We didn't have the support within our committee to subpoena them, but we invited them to come in and proclaim their innocence. We did get people from the State Department coming in, people like George Kent, Amos Hochstein, others. We had invited and had scheduled an interview with Anthony Blinken. In the end, he canceled on the interview, but then after the election, because he wanted to become Secretary of State, he decided to sit for a voluntary interview, which we transcribed. And so in that interview, we were asking about the meeting they had scheduled with Hunter Biden in May. It was canceled because Bo Biden died a couple days later, but it was rescheduled for July 20th. And so we're asking, you know, what was the purpose of that meeting? He said, well, they just talked about Bo, which it's kind of hard to press him on that when you have no documentation. But we also asked him, well, how did you communicate with Hunter? Did you talk to him on the phone? He said, no. What about other types of communication? Emails, texts? No. Now we have proof that he was emailing Hunter Biden. So he lied bold-faced to Congress. That's a big no-no.
Can he be impeached for that? I'm not under the impression that's going to actually go through the United States Senate. But can he be impeached for that?
Well, certainly, I think the House ought to be impeaching people like Mayorkas, people like Anthony Blinken. It only seems like Republicans or conservatives are ever prosecuted for lying to Congress, certainly in our recent past. What we're going to do is we're going to give Anthony Blinken and his wife, who also was using her personal email as a State Department employee, trying to set up a phone call between the Deputy Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, her husband, and Karen Tramitano, who worked for Blue Star Strategies, who was the Democrat lobbying firm for Burisma, trying to get meetings with the Obama administration officials. Again, there was nothing to see here, right? There was no conflict of interest. There was no influence peddling by the vice president's son, was there? And of course, the media just looked the other way. Senator Grassley and I, we shared a report in September 2020, showed a vast web of very troubling financial foreign entanglements, millions of dollars being transferred. We've now gotten bank records from Cathay Bank confirming those Treasury reports. But the media back then just yawned. They accused us of soliciting and disseminating Russian disinformation. Have you heard that one before, Jesse? That's how the corrupt and complicit mainstream media covered our report. Not a word of our report has ever been debunked, proven false. It was all true then. It's true now. And now we're just peeling back layers of the onion that we expose, and we're going to get more and more detail. We're going to catch more and more of these people like Anthony Blinken in lies. And I guess the first part of accountability is exposing them. Unfortunately, I can't prosecute people. That we'd have to turn those over to Merrick Garland. Don't have a great deal of hope there, but the public exposure is a pretty good dose of accountability, and I guess I'll have to settle for that.
Let's circle back to the FBI part of this, because this is something we've talked about extensively on the show. It's something I'm glad you bring up often. The FBI, now there's a million FBI stories we could go into, but the FBI intimidation attempt, and the IRS actually got in on this too, by that poor sap who took Hunter Biden's laptop in. It is such a stunning abuse of power by the federal law enforcement agency. You could argue the entire agency should be paused while a major investigation is done. That's that big of a deal if they're running a protection racket on behalf of the Biden family. How do we stop it? Because all I see now is Christopher Wray going in front of Congress and saying, well, I can't comment on an investigation, and we get nowhere.
Right. Well, let's talk about what the FBI did. Again, not only did they threaten McIsaac as they walked away with the computer, they had to be planning the story. Somebody was planning the story that it was all Russian disinformation. Now, obviously, Anthony Blinken did that once the laptop was exposed. But for example, Senator Grassley and I, we were given an unsolicited briefing in August of 2020. Basically, you know, the FBI briefers, they said that we were targets of a Russian disinformation campaign. You know, I knew it was a setup at the time. I asked them, well, what new information do you have to give us this briefing? They wouldn't tell us. We asked them, who directed this briefing? Three public letters, 2 years later, we still don't know who directed that briefing. So again, that was all laying the groundwork in case that computer ever surfaced that Senator Grassley and I would certainly have second thoughts. And by the way, Jesse, to a certain extent it worked, because the day after we issued our report, yeah, McIsaac offered us the computer because he felt safe enough. If you got two U.S. senators investigating this, he felt safe enough to go in public with that computer, offer it to us. Guess who we went to determine whether this thing was real? What did they know about it? We went to the FBI. They gave us the runaround for weeks until McIsaac finally got impatient, turned that over to Rudy Giuliani, and the rest is history from that standpoint. But again, the FBI's game plan, their sabotage, to a certain extent, it did work. It worked for months. McIsaac didn't release that computer to the public. And of course, because it was covered up because Anthony Blinken initiated that letter, the American public didn't know about it. The Twitter files show that the social media companies, mainstream media covered it up. And Joe Biden is now president, leading our country down a path of destruction because of his socialist ways.
Golly, scary stuff. Senator, appreciate you. Come back soon.
Have a good day.
Wild place to be as a nation, isn't it? All right, we're going to talk to Tudor Dixon about that and other things next. You know what else is wild? How bad our homes smell. Look, I'm not saying you have a dirty home. I'm sure you have a clean home. It's just human beings put off odors. Shoot, you should smell my producers. We have dogs that put off odors. Family, kids put off odors. Food. And so these odors soak into our home, and eventually you end up with viruses and mold in your air. Part of the reason you get sick. I love my Eden Pure thunderstorms. I own six of them because they clean my air. I know because when I walk in the door, I can smell how clean the air is. You ever smelled how clean your air is? My allergies are gone because of these things. It's just this little black box that goes right in the outlet in the wall. Go get yourself a few of these. They have three packs, $200 off. They sell them at EdenPureDeals.com. Go enjoy clean air, allergy-free. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse is how you get the deal. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. We'll be back.
Listen, people want leaders they can trust, who have integrity, who get things done. And I really think that the Biden administration has shown that that is the brand of Joe Biden, Kamala Harris ticket. It's what they have been delivering on. They focus not on culture wars, but solving problems. They'll work with anybody to get things done. And I think that's something that is really important.
Joining me now, host of the Tudor Dixon podcast, Tudor Dixon. Tudor, you live in Governor Ratchet's state, sadly. I figured this woman was ambitious and wanted to be president. Is that what I'm seeing here, just punching her ticket?
Yeah, this is what you're seeing here. This is the gaslighting of they get things done. This man literally just posted his video for re-election, because he couldn't get it done in person. So he puts up a video that has no examples of anything he's done. So I you know, beautiful speech from Gretchen as usual.
My favorite part of that video was how he half slurred in the produced video. I was like, it's not, it just kills me when he does that. Okay, let's focus on Ratchet for a second and Michigan. Climate-specific issues in your state that these people are trashing, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, yes. We welcome the CCP into Michigan. That's what Gretchen Whitmer does. She has a CCP organization coming into the state. They are giving them $715 million worth of taxpayer funds to get this company in here. And we've just found out that this company is going to be dipping into our water supply to about the 700,000 gallons a day, which is fine because if you are working with a Democrat, then you can just say you're an environmentalist, but then not have any type of environmental study. And that's what Gretchen Whitmer is doing.
Okay, can you explain the reasoning behind that? Why would you allow any CCP-backed company into your state, whether you give them water or not?
Absolutely. So this is what they said. No, this is not CCP. This is a Chinese company that has no connection to the CCP. Well, first of all, if you are a Chinese organization, you always have a connection to the CCP. But this company's not even hiding it. They decided on their American version of their website to put in English that they had to have a CCP operation on site to infiltrate the grassroots of the company. So think about that. Nobody caught that. Or they didn't care about catching that when they translated this into English because it is second nature. That is exactly their plan. They think that the Americans are so naive, and clearly the Democrats, or clearly Gretchen Whitmer, is naive enough or just doesn't care enough to say national security is important. So she says, just look past those bylaws that are in English saying we'll have a CCP operation in the middle of the state.
Do we have a chance to get Michigan back, Tudor? I'd cringe when I ask the question, but do we?
Yes, absolutely. But we have to actually work for it. And so I say that because I think Republicans across the country need a wake-up call on what it means to win elections. And it's not rallies and it's not a popularity contest of who can get the most Twitter likes or who can get the most people at a rally. It is a behind-the-scenes business of winning elections. And that means using technology to target people, getting your message out. We talk about Democrats hiding in the basement. Notice they never come out and have something where they have commercials made about them. They have attacks from Republicans on them because they get only the message they want out to the people that are going to elect them. And they talk to the young people. They get into their minds. They get into their brains through technology, through messaging. They know what they're doing on the ground. We are not playing the same game. We've got to get there.
Speaking of which, let's talk about online and young people. Because I'm not an artistic person, you know, we're friends. I can't sing or dance or draw or do any of this stuff. So I kind of cringe when I look at people who do it. But you find these young dork communists on TikTok that are paid Democrat operatives, and the right mocks these guys when we should be mimicking these guys. We don't have to be quite as cringe as these guys are. We should be on these apps beaming our message into young people's faces, shouldn't we?
Oh, hey, cringe is what sells these days. That's the sad thing. These young people love it. They just soak it up. And they're on TikTok 8 hours a day. We have not successfully explained how dangerous TikTok is. So we have no alternative. We are not talking to the young people right now. We've got to change that. We've got to figure out how we talk to them with influencers that make sense to them. Right now, the influencers that we've had that have historically been meaning to talk to young people have talked about the wrong issues. They've talked about issues that they believe are important to them, but they're not going to and saying, what are the issues that are going to turn young 18 to 25 year old voters from the Democrat side to the Republican side? We have to go out there and get that message to them. First, we have to figure out what that message is and lock it down.
Now, that brings me to the hot topic in every election from now on, apparently, abortion. Here was Nancy Mace on CBS over the weekend.
Can a Republican candidate who supports or signs into law, as Governor DeSantis did, a six-week limit to abortion?
In the dead of night, by the way. It's the number two issue in my district. Number one's inflation. The debt ceiling is an important issue. Number two is abortion and finding a middle ground. Signing a six-week ban that puts women who are victims of rape and girls who are victims of incest in a hard spot isn't the way to change hearts and minds.
Okay, Tudor, I know how pro-life you are. You know how pro-life I am. We don't want to compromise on that, but we don't want to lose every election either. And Nancy Mace is an idiot. So what do we do?
Well, we need to figure out what the message is on abortion. And obviously the message is not to go out and trash your party for having a stance that is to save life. But I think the mistake that people have made on the Republican side is, oh, we worked for 50 years to overturn Roe v. Wade. We overturned Roe v. Wade. People believed we've won the war. But that really wasn't. It sent it back to the states. And so for all of the confusion that you heard in 22, where all these reporters said abortion's going to be banned now, actually it went back to the states and the states had to decide. But 50 years of culture shift on that is very hard to overcome. And that's why I say we won a battle, but not the war. And so the battle continues to say we were with Roe v. Wade at 24 to 26 weeks. What will people in your community vote for? What will people in your state vote for? Let's save as much life as we truly can, and then also try to impact culture in a different way. And I say that because it should be easy to adopt. It should be common to adopt kids. It should be something, foster care should be encouraged. We should be talking about child tax credits. We should make the family important. We shouldn't make it easier to get money from the government if you're a single mom and you have more kids than it is to not. You shouldn't get money to get rid of your child. You should get money because you have a child. You should be supported. We should make communities the place where we want to see families. But that's not what we're doing. We are still continuing in this locked-in absolutism war over it's either all or nothing. And right now, people will say, well, fight the war against the Democrats saying they want all. They've already got the culture behind them saying it's a right. And that's why when they come to a state like Michigan, and instead of having Roe v. Wade, they go to the extreme of having a total open, you can have abortion up to the moment of birth with no parental consent. They win that over the other side because they've adjusted and they've been impacting the culture. And we have not. We felt like it was a legal war, and we have not gone to the side of saying, instead of 24 to 26 weeks, let's get it back to something that is 12 weeks. And then maybe over time we can get it to a heartbeat bill. But these are battles that are not going to happen overnight. It took 50 years to get where we are. It's going to take a while to get back.
When are you running for office again? Why this podcast thing? Did you just want to follow in my footsteps? That's probably it, isn't it?
You are my idol. And so I have asked myself for years, how can I be more like Jesse Kelly? And that was the obvious next step.
I knew it.
What can I say?
I knew it. Tudor Dixon, the Tudor Dixon podcast. See you, Tudor.
Thank you so much.
All right. We got to lighten the mood next. Now, before we do that, did you see the banking news today? Talked about it in the open. This is a big deal. Another bank gone. Nationalized, may I point out. Seized by the federal government, to be more specific, and then just sold off. They just took its dead carcass and just sold it right off to J.P. Morgan. It's coming. It's happening. You have gold. Are you ready for the financial storm that is coming? Oxford Gold will mail you some gold or silver, precious metal coins, right to your door. They'll get it in your 401k. Your IRA, so when this bubble goes pop, all that retirement you've earned doesn't disappear. Just make one phone call, all right? Tell them Jesse told you to call. I promise they will take special care of you. 833-995-GOLD. Oxford Gold is the only place I go for this stuff. 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And something tells me that in the course of his six-year term, John Fetterman is going to provide more than one video that is going to help us lighten the mood at the end of every show. Before we get to Fetterman, let's get to this. There are some things that are unavoidable. Right now, we have a testosterone free fall in our society. It's not a decline, it's a free fall. And there are a lot of reasons for that. We sit around more now. We drink water. We have estrogens in our water, estrogens in the plastic. This is what happens in society. And so T levels are half of what they were 50 years ago. We will not be here anymore in 100 years if that continues. This isn't inevitable. Chalk can help change it. Not more needles in your arm. Natural herbal supplements. A male vitality stack from Chalk for the men. They have a female vitality stack for the ladies. They have Chalk lip powder, vitamins and minerals, all kinds of natural herbal supplements. Get a subscription because they're 35% off and you cancel it anytime. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse, all right? All right, Fetterman just got out of the hospital and he was there for depression. And now Fetterman is putting out videos drinking beer, which causes depression.
Cheers. Bye-bye. Jim's your friend.
Give me a sign and
we got the whole thing.
Beer.
You got a field house.
Cheers.
I can stay here and drink beers all day.
But you know what's crazy? That's not even the most cringy beer drinking video a Democrat has put out in recent years. Do you remember the fantastic Elizabeth Warren video she put out on social media, having just a beer like you have, and then in the video she thanked her husband for being in the house?
There we go. I'm glad for everybody who's joining this video. It's great to hear from you. Hold on a sec. I'm gonna get me a beer. Hey, Robert, my husband Bruce is now in here. You want a beer?
No, I'll pass on the beer for now.
You sure? Come over and say hello to folks.
Yes.
So, this is my sweetie.
Hello.
He's the best. And I'm crazy. I love you too. Thank you for being here.
Pleasure.
I'm glad you're here.
Gosh. Thank you for being here. I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.